Welcome to a kind of different version of a Geekologist minisode. We originally had something else planned, but after hearing the day's news about Carrie Fisher, we basically did a 180, felt the need to get the Autobots assembled on this podcast, just because we were so passionate about it. Honestly, like, the Discord and the amount of fervor in our community was so high that we thought that we needed to have a roundtable. The discussion today in this podcast is basically just going to be our thoughts about Carrie Fisher, about our feelings towards Star Wars, her as a person, as an actor, and the source. So to start it off, Mr. Nash.
Hey, everybody. Sad day. Not my typical jump into and be all hyped up, but got a lot to say today. And good things about a good person.
Yeah, and this is Big D. Thanks for having me come and join you guys again. Talk a little more Star Wars, but unfortunately, obviously, under better circumstances would be nice. But anyway, glad to join you guys today.
Bringing Big D back in as our Star Wars guru. We had him on last episode for the minisode and thought it apropos considering we were talking so much about Fisher in the last episode. I'm just going to start it off and just talk about basically Carrie as a person. I think that if you read anything of her castmates, friends, family throughout Twitter, you could see how respected and how well-loved she was as a person. Not without her faults. Obviously, there were issues early on in her career with addiction, but brought upon with a shining light on mental illness and how that was basically the addiction was a by effect, was a factor of that mental illness. And she brought to light about the disorder bipolarism, which if it hasn't touched you, it's touched somebody that you know for sure. And also kind of shining a light on how important the character of Princess Leia was, not only in the Star Wars universe, but to as it shed its kind of rainbow and its light on all kinds of female characters from that point moving forward. I don't know, your guys' thoughts on Carrie Fisher in general, Nash?
It's hard to think, you know, you go back and you start thinking about, remember when, like, you're in our age group, you start thinking about your memories. And one of my first memories, you know, I'm 35. One of my first memories with my dad was sitting down and watching Star Wars. And, you know, I was, you know, little kid who loved fantasy, loved all that stuff. You see these swords with, you got this movie with knights with laser swords and a Death Knight, you know, went to be Vader. And, but then you got this princess, and it's not the fairy tale princess. It's not the one that sits in the tower and waits the knight to come rescue. You know, that's what they think. You start thinking right off the bat. You start thinking that's what's coming. But then you meet Carrie Fisher's princess. Completely different. She's not afraid to talk back. She's not afraid to speak her mind. She's also not afraid to take control and rescue the, quote, heroes. Her portrayal was just a wonderful, strong female lead. And it's just, it's something great to even pass down. I mean, when I think of female characters to show to my daughter, that's one of the characters that, you know, I try to say, hey, look at this. And, you know, thankfully enough, in the upcoming movies we got, hopefully Rey can try to or the actress, Daisy Ridley, can try to live up to what Carrie Fisher did for generations before her. So it's a hard one, man.
It's hard. It's hard. I think we're all kind of like, there's so much to say, but it's so hard to have the words for it. And I totally agree. What I appreciate for the film, and what we're about Star Wars, is the fact that George Lucas gave her the room to breathe in this movie, and gave her the ability to kind of adjust this character accordingly. My guesstimate, and from reading from stuff from the scripts from the Empire Strikes Back, which she definitely changed some of the script from, was that's not originally where the character was going, and she took a character from a point A to a point B and kind of elevated this Princess Leia character. What I appreciate is the fact that Lucas gave her the ability to do it, that there was an openness for this character to not be a subplot and to be one of the major focal points. And also the best part about the Princess Leia character is it wasn't a to me, it wasn't a great female lead. It was a great lead. So she was able to take a character, and I wasn't thinking of her as, oh, this is a great character for a girl. I was thinking this is a great character for a character. Like she took an arc on this character from a damsel in distress from the original New Hope. And by the time that we get her now, she's General Organa, and she's in charge and in lead, and she's head of the rebellion, and she's ready to take, you know, ready to move from point, you know, take this group and move them against anything that the Dark Force has to deal with. And I think that's the best part about it. So Big D.
Yeah. So obviously this is affects everybody in a big way, because the Star Wars franchise, you know, that's probably the biggest thing that Carrie is remembered for, you know. And for me personally, you know, I'm 39 years old. I was born a few days after the first Star Wars movie came out in theaters. And so I grew up just falling in love with the story and these movies. And these are the first movies I remember seeing in a theater. And like so many kids my age, you know, it was all about Star Wars at the time. You know, but from a viewpoint of feminism and women's equality, people talk about the fact that it's so important for little girls to see characters like this on the screen and in big stories that they love in movies. It's equally important for little boys to see women in roles like these strong women who, you know, are the equals of the men around them, and who can help carry a story. And, you know, so me as a little kid, I think that's an important part of, you know, sort of me making sense of the world around me and the role of women in the world. You know, and that's a big deal. And back in the 70s, I mean, you didn't have characters like this very often. They were few and far between. But you look at Carrie Fisher's portrayal of Leia in the movie and her strength and the way that she just gave it back to Han Solo and, you know, was grabbing blasters and taking things into her own hands and, you know, being degraded by Jabba the Hutt. And she just wasn't having it, so she, you know, wrapped a chain around his neck and choked him to death. You know, these moments were just not things that you ran into very often in movies, especially movies that were had such a huge cultural impact. So, you know, when you talk about the fact that movies and our entertainment and our art is supposed to kind of reflect back a lot of the values of our culture, you know, if we as a culture value equality, you know, then we're going to value characters that kind of live that out on the screen. And I think that's what Princess Leia did for a lot of folks.
I think even early on, like if you watch her scenes with Vader initially in A New Hope, she's not fearful of him. She doesn't care. In fact, like he says, he's like, give me the plans. She's like, what plans? She's like, I'm on a mission to Alderaan. And like she basically outright lies to him, and she's like, nah, I don't care. And so like, I mean, you take that scene and then you take the Han Solo stuff where she goes from the damsel in distress that needs help from Obi-Wan Kenobi to the person who saves Han Solo and goes in there and goes to grab him, and to Big D's point, goes and chokes out Jabba the Hutt, grabs a blaster, helps Luke out, and like she's in the fight, like she's in there, she's one of the guys, to the point where, again, like I was talking about, she's just one of the lead characters. To me, I didn't see like a female brute force. I thought she's just one of the characters. Like she's in there and she's in that fight and she's helping this rebellion and she's going to help this cause, which I, again, appreciated. And she had a lot of one-liners in there that were kind of zingers. And like she was that character. She was the sass character. And so there's sometimes that can be a guy, that can be a female. But like for her, that it was just, it felt so right.
So growing up, when I got my action figures, I didn't, you know, my dad would get me female action figures from He-Man and all that stuff. And I was kind of like, yeah, I didn't play with them.
Those are called Barbies.
Hey, now. But I'll tell you what, Princess Leia, I didn't mind. I loved having Princess, because I mean, again, it was those thing. I, even as a little kid, little boy, I viewed her on equal standpoint with the other heroes of the movie. Like, it wasn't, she wasn't some, you know, she wasn't print. I'm going to have some people get after me for this, but she wasn't Princess Peach, you know? Mm-hmm. She wasn't sitting on the side needing to be rescued by Mario. She was just as capable, if not sometimes more, than the other cast. And it was just something that was, you know, it just goes to show her portrayal. It's crazy to think. She was the youngest member on that you know, the youngest main actor, actress on that. And to be able to carry that type of weight on her shoulders. And she didn't even, it was like it's light. Like, she didn't even act like it was anything. It was just like, no, I'm, you know, Princess Leia is going to be me, and I'm going to be Princess Leia. You know, the Force is with me. It was just something that you just don't see a lot, even in today.
And that character didn't come without weight. If you know anything about Carrie Fisher, which she's had 3, you know, New York Times bestselling books, it came with a lot of weight. Like, it came with enough weight that to the point where it was almost too much. And it kind of held her back for an extended period of time, at least in the mid-80s to mid-90s, you know, that big span for her. And it was a lot to take on, because when you take on an iconic character like that, it can hurt you quite a bit. Like, it can take, you know, quite a bit of pressure to be in that realm. And to that point, again, we brought back to the point where she had addiction and she was dealing with, you know, some mental issues. You can see where that weight can carry for some people. It's just like every time that she got, and I don't know if any of you saw that that thing that she did on, I think it was Good Morning America, where she was talking about, you know, and people just referred to her as Leia and they just shouted out, "Hey, Leia." Eventually it wears on you as a person. It's just like, I'm not that person. I'm Carrie, and I play a character named Princess Leia. And so her sarcasm kind of helps diffuse some of that stuff. But it can be tough as a person, you know what I mean? To be portrayed and basically one noted as this person, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's something, and sadly it's something that happened to a lot of people who got involved with Star Wars early on. I mean, Mark Hamill found stuff outside of it, doing a lot of voice work and taking to his love of comics and writing and inking them. But you know, he was kind of the same, you know, it was kind of the same thing. It was, "Oh, you're Luke," you know? Mm-hmm. He'd find some bit roles and stuff like that, where, you know, in like, you know, he was Sequest, which was another sci-fi. He was one of the characters on there. He played an alien, but it was hard for him to get out of that, aside from his voice work, which he's phenomenal at. Within my job, I see people who come in stuff and have, mm-hmm. and see some of the other sides of that stuff. And so knowing that, and then oftentimes what we see is, we only, you know, we're the consumers. We see what's on screen. We don't think about, so a lot of people don't think about, that's a real person. And, you know, it also goes back to tell you, you know, think of, you know, kind of think about like the Heath Ledger's Joker. You know, when these actors put themselves into a role, sometimes it engulfs them. And you got to think about what that happens, especially if someone's got a history of mental illness and all that stuff in their family. It's something that just, it really does affect them. It really, people don't think about that. They just think, "Oh, I want to see the next film," or "I want to see the next thing she does," without thinking about the person that's behind that.
Sure.
Yeah, and so thinking about the person that's behind this character and trying to wrap your head around who is Carrie Fisher, you know, as more of a well-rounded person and not just you know, a character in this movie or whatever. You know, one of the things that always endeared me to Carrie Fisher, not just Princess Leia, is she's just one of the best interviews that I've ever read from anybody. And especially, I've really enjoyed a lot of the interviews that she did leading up to The Force Awakens, a couple interviews that she did together with Daisy Ridley, and some of the, you know, her wit just really came through with a lot of that. And you know, she has a lot of great banter, and she'll give things back to interviewers, and she's very insightful in some of her witty remarks and kind of, you know, cheeky insults and things like that. She cuts to the core of a lot of issues, whether it's around the inflated sense of self-worth that people sometimes have with that comes with celebrity, or you know, the fame that people lavish on her for being a character that she played in a movie many years ago, you know, before she reprised the role in The Force Awakens. Just if anybody out there has not had a chance to go and just kind of see that side of her and that wit, go in and just look up some of the interviews that she's done around The Force Awakens. And specifically, I wish I could remember who it was with. Maybe it was Entertainment Weekly. The couple of interviews she did with Daisy Ridley, where Daisy Ridley, I think, was actually interviewing Carrie Fisher, and then Carrie Fisher was interviewing Daisy Ridley. They were interviewing each other back and forth. It was fantastic. Google that and look it up. It's good stuff.
And I know, Big D, you just got a dog, right? And she was a huge, huge fan of her dog. And so, like, I remember the interviews on the Today Show where the dog was sitting there. And so the woman interviewing her is asking her about the weight loss. And she goes, weight loss? And so she totally divulges it, like, right back at her. And she's like, you look like you work out a lot. She's like, do you enjoy it? Because you must enjoy it because you're looking like that. She's like, your skinny is a toothpick. And she starts bringing it. She's like, what music do you listen to while you work out? Because I know you hate it to death. So it has to be the music that you're interested in and not the working out part. So, like, just like one of those, like, wham, wham, like right back at her because she doesn't want to talk about it, right? And so how am I not going to talk about it? I'm just going to flip the script on you. And I'm going to read you a quote from that one of the interviews that she did with this woman in the NBC Today Show, which I thought was just basically her in a nutshell. And it said, please stop debating about whether or not I've aged well. Unfortunately, it hurts all three of my personalities, which I thought was hysterical. Youth and beauty are not accomplishments. They're temporary byproducts of a time or DNA. Don't hold your breath for either. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, someone else might have given a fuck. And I think it's really, really cool because, you know, we talk about how she looked when she was 20. You know, people age and things happen. And so please don't dwell on the fact that I was that person because I'm not that person anymore. This is who I am now. So let's talk about who I am now. And I think that that's the part where she was getting to. She had done that in her 20s and her 30s and even up to her early 40s where it was just this huge issue of mental illness and she was dealing with who she was and what she was. And she's to the point now where she's happy with who she was. And so she was okay with that. And so let's just talk about me now. I don't want to talk about who I used to be. Because I've had to go through that and I've already got past that. And if you want to know who I was, those are the three books that I've written that were in the New York Times bestseller. That's who I was. So if you want to read about that, that's where it is. Let's talk about what's going on right now. And so if you want to know about Carrie Fisher, if you want to know about who she was, she does have three books that are on the New York Times bestseller list. And so I know one of them is Shockaholic, which is really good. I know another one is it's like The Princess's Diaries, which I think talks about her stuff on The New Hope. And I can't remember the name of the other one, but I know it has something to do with, I think it's like the drinking something. It's the Wishful Drinker or the Wishful Drinking. I knew I was going to pull it up real quick. But all three of those books kind of just go in line with where she started from to where she was as far as her mental illness and as far as her, you know, her drinking and all of that sort of thing. But it just gives you a clear picture of who she was as a person. Again, well-respected by everybody. I mean, literally, if you saw anybody who was on Star Wars, I'm talking about Spielberg, Lucas, Matthew, any person, Harrison Ford, everybody was just so overwhelmed. Specifically, Mark Hamill was just unbelievably overwhelmed. And I think you get to a point where, and Damon, you can't appreciate this. Dave, I think you might be able to. When you start to head towards 40 years old, 60 years old is not that old anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not that old to me. Like, because I'm coming up on almost 40 years old, and it's not that old to me. And to see somebody who's so young pass away so early when they have so much else to give, it really touches me because it makes me it brings my life back into perspective again. And not that it's all about me, but like I think in people's passing, sometimes you learn some lessons. And so I think a lesson is to maybe get some retrospective on what, where I've gone and where I'm coming from, you know, where I am and where I could be going, you know, because I mean, Christ, that's 20 years from now for me. Like, you know what I mean? It's so fast and it's a blink of the eye. And so you think you have all this time in the world and sometimes you just don't.
Yeah. You just need to make sure you live your life to the fullest. And things like this really do make you it makes you think about things and makes you value things more. And I mean, some people can tell you, oh, you're silly for trying to talk about, you know, an actress or anything like that. But the thing is that that's people who are looking at just, they're very close-minded with it, because as we've been talking about, she was so much more than that. And, you know, she's, you know, anybody who can be an advocate and utilize their fame to put forth, you know, the limelight, take it, shrug it off her and put it towards the issues. That, to me, that's an angel that walks the earth, because you got children who are born with this and have to deal with this stuff. You know, I don't care if she cursed. I don't care about that stuff. I would get those books and read them to my kids and explain to them, you know, within reason, but explain to them that this is someone who did this. Watch this. You see this? She did this, but she had to fight this too.
Yeah, and you destigmatize a thing by talking about it, right? And in our culture, we tend to sort of try and push mental illness under the rug. It's a faux pas. It's not something that we talk about openly. And so when the more people that have the bravery to come out and talk about those things and show that also, hey, I can suffer from a form of mental illness and still be here sitting here and talking to you and still be Carrie Fisher and still be this awesome person that you love, but I also deal with this thing. The more people that are able to actually come out and talk openly about mental illness, the more that it destigmatizes it. But that's a brave thing to be one of those people that's putting themselves out there when so many others kind of keep those sorts of things private. So, you know, kudos.
But also how Carrie Fisher is that. I mean, in 77, she was blazing the trail for women back then. And then she takes it and she takes the stuff that she's combating and fighting with her mental illness, and she blazed another trail. That's just, I mean, that's the thing that she needs to be remembered for, is doing just that. And I actually want to read something. This is something that Kevin Smith put out on Instagram. And, anybody who knows him knows that he's a huge fan of everything Star Wars. In fact, probably mostly Carrie Fisher, actually.
Batman. Yep.
And so this is something that he talks about. He shared a picture of himself posing with Carrie Fisher and Jason Mewes on the set of Spoilers. It's a show that he has. He begins with, "The princess stole my heart at age 7. Anybody who knows me knows Carrie Fisher was my first love. I thrilled to the adventures of Princess Leia in the Star Wars movies, but from 77 to 84, I was in love with Carrie Fisher herself. My bedroom was filled with Carrie Fisher pictures from any movie she was ever in, including Polaroids that we took off the TV when the Blues Brothers hit cable. Smith's love for Fisher ran so deep, he was actually jealous of Paul Simon when the singer dated the Slavery Crush back in the day. In fact, the director wouldn't listen to his music until they split up. Smith also recalled seeing Fisher and Chevy Chase's Under the Rainbow 9 times when it was in theaters, mostly because she was underwear in one scene, he joked. In childhood, I committed myself to Carrie Fisher without ever meeting her, the way novice nuns commit themselves to Christ without meeting him, he said. Decades later, I got to tell her this when Carrie Fisher and Jason Mewes were in a station wagon on the set of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. She was gracious about hearing it for the zillionth time from the zillionth man or woman who grew up idolizing her, but wickedly added, and this is something we've been talking about, her wit, I'm glad to know I helped you find your lightsaber. And with that, she stopped being Carrie. Yeah. And with that, she stopped being Carrie Fisher to me and just became Carrie. That's the Carrie I'll always remember, the dutiful standard bearer of childhood dreams with the wicked sense of humor and a way with words. She didn't want to get paid for her role in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Instead, she asked that we buy her these antique beaver chairs. The director said, at the time, Fisher joked, beaver seems an appropriate currency for this movie. Again, just stating, she, you know, it's Smith's love affair with Fisher continued for years. When she was a guest on season one of the Hulu show, spoilers, Carrie curled up on the throne like she belonged there, he said, referencing the picture he shared with his fans just after her death. And she did it, after all, she was royalty.
Pretty so, awesome sentiments from Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And what we haven't mentioned too is not only did Carrie Fisher work on scripts from, you know, Star Wars, she was working on scripts from Sister Act, from Lethal Weapon 3. There were quite a few things that she, at Hook, she had her hands in a lot of things, and she also had her hands in some in helping him in some of that script too on Jay and Silent Bob. So like, yep. She had her hands in a lot of things. And so I have a feeling that, you know, you have a sense of your idols and you put them up on this pedestal. But then when you realize that at that point where she allowed him to be an equal, and so then it became a friendship as opposed to an adoration, you know, of the character from the 70s for him. They had this respect level that was just completely on a different level. And so I can assume, or I will assume that that's the new adoration that he had for her was as a friend and not as an idol, you know? And
yeah.
So, and that stems from her being such a creative person and so amazing as far as her skills or her skill set.
Yeah. It's just something that's, when you read about that stuff, it's just, and that's just one individual who's been posting up what he thinks about. I mean, so many. I mean, if you just go out there and you type in Carrie Fisher right now in your search engine, you're going to see everybody who has had some experience, either, you know, stars or directors or just people like us talking right now, who are talking about what that meant to them.
As a side note, and this is literally a side note, we will get to see her one more time don that title as General Organa in the next episode of Star Wars. She finished the post filming of it, so a posthumous acting for her in that film. She has a few other things, one with Debbie Allen, which is her mother, and they have a documentary out. But for Star Wars fans, you'll get to see Princess Leia one more time, General Leia, one more time. And so it's almost, for me, one of those things that's a selfish, like, I get to see her one more time in film, you know what I mean? Like, and I know, I realize, you know, this is a completely, completely secondary thing. But the selfish version of me gets to see her don that one more time, which is such a treat. You know, everybody talks about things in the moment. And so we'll be talking about Carrie Fisher in the moment. And then you know how things are. The next thing comes and the next thing comes. And so people tend to forget. What a blessing this will be, that it'll be revisited again when this movie comes out again, because this will be brought back up to the forefront. And so people will have a conversation about it again. And so it'll bring her legacy back up one more time. I just want to mention that because I feel like that's kind of the route that it went with for Heath Ledger. That's how it was for Heath Ledger. It was brought back up again just after his passing because of the movie coming out after the passing. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, and another just quick point too, you know, just in terms of keeping thoughts with Carrie for a little while. Two homework assignments for people out there. Number one, that interview that I was referencing earlier was with Interview Magazine. It was from October 30th of 2015, and it was Carrie Fisher interviewing Daisy Ridley, and they're just going back and forth. That's and talking awesome. About a bunch of things, crazy fans.
I haven't seen that, so like, I want to watch it now.
Set and all sorts of. I really got a kick out of this interview. Check it out. The other piece of homework is to go and watch her in an 80s comedy movie called The Burbs, which was with Tom Hanks was in it.
Such a good movie.
Bruce Dern is in it. Corey Feldman is in it. You know, there's all these people in it. It's hilarious. And it's getting a chance to see Carrie Fisher in a very different light. Really funny movie. Very, like, typical, you know, late 80s comedy. Definitely check it out. The Burbs. Pretty funny stuff.
That's one of my favorite movies. I watch it a couple times a year.
Like, seriously, like, that's really, really cool. Burbs is a really funny flick. So we're going to keep this really short. I just kind of, let's wrap it up a little bit. If there's any final thoughts that anybody has, Nash, before we head out.
I look forward to seeing what she's able to do in the next movie and us being able to enjoy that. It's just too soon.
Big D.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, like you alluded to earlier, it just kind of makes you think about the big picture. And 60 years old is just way too young. But to be honest with you, when it all comes down to it, it's how much did you accomplish and how much change did you affect in your lifetime and how much were you able to affect the lives of people around you? And so if we can all do that as well as she did, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she changed lives in her acting because of Princess Leia being an iconic character, but more so she changed lives in the fact that she was able to take mental illness and bring it to the forefront and speak about it in terms and use her celebrity as Leia in order to get that message across. And so if the least of the things that she ever does and it ever did in her lifetime was get that one message across to somebody and was able to touch a life, then it was well worth her job as Princess Leia and her acting career as that in order to get that accomplished. And so for that, we all agree, I think, we have a princess that was lost too soon. Somebody that had all of us kind of today just really in a tizzy. Today was just kind of a blur. So many friends, family members who know how deep I am into the Star Wars lore and, you know, it's my thing. And were sending me messages like, have you seen this? Do you know what's going on? You know, that sort of thing. And I think for all of us here at Geekologist Radio, we did this with Alan Thicke. And I think we'll continue to do this as we lose legends. We're going to have a moment of silence. And I think we're not going to talk after this. I think we're going to end it on that moment of silence and call it a day. Just a lot to take in. And may the Force be with her always.